Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to pull over and stretch my legs.
I think he was supposed to keep left there.
Hmm? What is this place?
The other side of the rest stop.
Bundles as far as the eye can see.
If you're looking for a first mate, I know a guy. Me, I'm the guy.
Is this Oak?
Four types of jerky. This is where I live now.
You could save a ton with Progressive by bundling your boat or RV with your home and auto.
Hey guys! Free bags! They're just giving them away!
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Yeah, go get ready. Come on. Go get your shoes. Come on. Go put your vest on. Come on. Come on. As a matter of fact, go get all your stuff.
Come on!
That's right.
What you saying? Just saying what time?
You better
go get your hat and come on.
You better. And yes, and here's the reason. He saw me up there all alone. So for my sin he did atone. He purchased me, I'm not my own. I wanna please him. So now I serve him, who brought me and is able to keep me up together in the presence of his glory. I found for my life his good and perfect purpose was designed to bring me to the place where he had need of me. So I wanna my destiny, yeah.
Can't settle for,
can't settle for,
I've got
to start. Nothing just for what you need me to be, or want me to be, cause I
want it.
Not called to sit upon the shelf. He did not die just for his health. And with the time we have, let's waste not all on selfish reasons. But we must seek to please him first. Find his will upon the earth. When they look back from death to birth, they'll say they've seen him. So we must serve him. Who brought us and able to keep us all together in the presence of his glory. We thirst for a life. His good and perfect purpose was designed to bring us to the place where he needs us to be. Do you want your destiny? Come on. Come on, come on.
Hold on, don't let
give them now.
Give them now, we'll be
jacked up for sure.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Trenton Make Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Richard, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Good evening, everybody. I am always excited, always ecstatic to be able to do this show every single month. I just feel so good to be able to be on tonight. Like most people that listen to my show, Trenton Make Show, I always want to do and give credit where it's due and give all my praise and all the glory belongs to God. It all belongs to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be where I am without the Savior. You know, Jesus, he has been so good to me, and whenever I get an opportunity to talk about him and to just pass on the word, I love to do that. So I wanted to share a little small thing before I, you know, my guest come on. So the other day I was reading in John, and it was about the Samaritan woman, and she was basically at the well. Now, many people, when they hear the story about the Samaritan woman, about the well and Jesus meeting her, and how the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't really like each other, and a lot of people talked about the water. But the revelation that I had got the other day reading the scripture was that I believe that Jesus saw himself in the woman. Now, Jesus never sinned like us. He doesn't have a sinful nature, but I believe that Jesus was able to see the Samaritan woman as an outcast, just like he was an outcast. And I'm here to remind anybody who's an outcast, who's a misfit, who've ever felt like the black of the sheep of the family, that it's okay to be an outcast and be a misfit. See, what was going on with the Samaritan woman that is that I believe that she was broken. She literally had 5 husbands, and she was basically with a man that wasn't her husband. And when she was able to have an encounter with Jesus, it was so life-changing that she was able to go back to the same people in her town that rejected her and was able to give them the word of God, you know, was able to tell them about this man and about Jesus. And to me, I feel like that's what I want to be, that regardless of who reject me, that regardless of who doesn't get me, who doesn't understand me, but that when the word of God is in me and when God tells me to give a word, that I would go and do it despite how I feel, despite how people treat me. So I was just like, that to me just was just a beautiful sign of forgiveness. Like, for her to just despite her whatever she was going through, whatever she was facing, you can even understand if she wasn't with the 5 husbands and she was with another man, imagine the brokenness and all the things that she felt within her life. But we don't know the full story of her life because we only, you know, is privy to a certain amount of information about this woman. But I thought it was so beautiful that she was able to go to the very people that rejected her. I think about the story of Joseph. He was rejected from his brothers. You get what I mean? And in the end or whatever, you know the story where he was able to forgive his brothers. When you think about the story of David, you know, rejected. Moses was rejected by his own people. So again, Jesus was rejected by his own people, Jeremiah. So if you are rejected by people, remember that it's okay, because sometimes God's rejection of people is his protection for you. And if you feel hidden, it's okay too, because sometimes God will hide you in plain sight and people won't be able to see you. So I'm reminded that even like when Jesus or whatever, like Jesus was hidden, you know, in a sense, and when he got older and was able to do what he was supposed to do, it was like, ain't that the carpenter's son? Like, just being reminded that sometimes people try to remind you who you were and in your past, and not realizing that you are a new creature. So I hope whoever listening to this, that it, again, if you're a misfit or you're an outcast, that is okay, because you was never meant to fit in with anybody. You was always meant to stand out. And it's time, you know, for us to embrace our individuality and be who we are called to be, you know. And God, you know, as loving as he is, he will send people in your life to allow you to embrace your calling, embrace your individuality. I wanted to shout out also all the fathers out there. You know, yesterday was Father's Day. I had the preview and the great opportunity to have an amazing father in my life. I wouldn't be the man that I am without my father. But maybe you out there didn't have a father, but that you have a heavenly father that loves you and cares about you and that created you even before you knew yourself. I want to shout out to all the fathers out there. Shout out to the godfathers that step in and be that are fathers. I'm a godfather. I take my role as a godfather so serious. I love my godchildren like they're my own kids. You get what I mean? Shout out to the stepfathers. Shout out to the mentors. Shout out to the teachers. Shout out to the surrogate for others. Shout out to the preachers, the men of God. Shout out to the people that are standing in the gap, because guess what, men, real men, we need you out here, and we can't do it without you. I believe that it's the enemy's job to get the ministry away from the home, because without the head, you get what I mean? Without a real man's presence, you get what I'm saying, in the home or whatever, I believe the children begin to suffer. So shout out to the fathers that out there that don't never get the recognition. I was able to go to this men's retreat this weekend, and I wanted to say this real quick. It was about forgiveness, and basically it was the story of a man who had a father and a mother, and the father murdered the mother because the mother wanted to leave. So as the mother was dying out, the son had put a pillow under her head, right? So now the son or whatever basically had to go against his father in court. And now the son, now without a mother and a father, grew up or whatever being angry. But the thing about it was, as he got older, he began to, from the story that was conveyed to me, he began to do like seminars and everything about domestic violence, because he wanted to be able to help people, you know, based on the experience of losing his mother. But the thing about it was, even though he was helping people, deep down inside, he was still hurt. He was still burdened. And how many people know that you can still be used by God, but not still have the same access, or not be in an alignment with God, because he still had unforgiveness in his heart? So even though he was being productive and he was helping people, deep down on the inside, he still was struggling with unforgiveness. 30 years had passed, and he had not spoken to his father. He decided to go to the courtrooms and get the deposition of what transpired that night. As he began to read the deposition, in the deposition it said that when the father killed the mother, that he had put the pillow underneath the mother's head. He began to be enraged and angry because he felt like his father was lying, because he was the one that put the pillow under the mother's head. So the father went to jail for some time. He reached out to the father. He's mad. He's going off. Mind you, it's been 30 years. He's mad. He's angry. He's going off. And the gist of the story is, he told his father, you know, if he was serious, that he would come and fly out to his conference. So the father or whatever came to the conference. And they began to, the story is way more elaborate, but basically he began to work on his relationship with his father. And after he began to work on his relationship with his father, because he began to love his father, then the grandchildren, which is his kids, began to love their grandfather. Because a lot of times we don't realize that, you know, the things that we do, it affects us, and it affects the people that we love around us. So by him allowing, him open up in his heart for love and forgiveness to his father, allowed him to have a relationship, his father to have a relationship with his kids. So after that or whatever, 1 year later, his father died, and he began to ask God, like, God, why? Like, why did my father die? And what he realized is that it took 30 years to, you know, where he didn't speak to his father. And then that 1 year, you know, he was able to make peace and forgive his father. His father was just, sorry, I'm sorry what I did. And he was able to see things on a different level, not saying that what his father did was right, but he was able to forgive. And that in which gave help, you know, his kids to have a relationship with the grandfather. After he died again. So I say all that to say that he wasted so much time being angry. And it's not saying that we don't get angry, don't get upset. We do. But don't allow 30 years to pass, you get what I mean, where you're missing moments and memories out of people that you love lives, you get what I mean? So forgiveness is key, and it's so important. So we're going to talk with Tommy in a little bit, but track next by international DJ legend, Brother O. We'll be right back. right, you guys, and we are back. I just wanted to give, again, the opportunity, and I'm grateful. I'm excited to have my my brother in Christ and my friend, and we're definitely growing in brotherhood, so I'm really, really excited. It's just a blessing to know him and to be still getting to know him. Just a kind, loving, powerful man of God. So shout out to you, Tommy.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Thank you, Ricardo. I appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, I appreciate you. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, man. I love talking to you. I'm so grateful, you know, that you're here. You get what I mean? I just wanted to pick up, you know, from where we left up the last time, but I just wanted to let people know who might have not got the opportunity to listen to the last show. So I know that you have the Tommy Talk Show. I know that you also have the book called Running Through the Rain, and I also wanted to just go through some of the chapters and you just, you know, explain what it was like when you were writing it, and we just go from there.
Absolutely.
All right. So I wanted to know how therapeutic was it, you know, writing this book called Running Through the Rain, which everybody, you guys, you can get a copy of it at Barnes & Noble's and Amazon.com. So what was the process like? What was the healing process like creating this art?
Wow. First of all, thank you again for having me on your show. And it is definitely an honor. And just know that I the same thing you said about me is the same way I feel about you, and I just shared those same sentiments. So big ups to you, little brother. In reference to the book, it was definitely a healing process. And one of the things that I realized about the healing process is that there's a difference between healing and numbness. So just because you don't feel anything anymore doesn't mean that you've been healed from it. So there have been many things that have transpired in my life that while I was writing the book, I was forced to look at those things again, and I had to ask myself, did I really heal from this, or did I just get numb to it, or did I just bury it? So this book kind of forced me to take a really hard and honest look, not just at my life, but at the perspective, the lens that I look through in reference to how I look at my life, but also where am I in my own story. So it's easy to say that these things have transpired and these things are behind me, but where am I right now as it relates to those things? And I found that it was very therapeutic. It was very healing. And it showed me, more importantly, it showed me places where I hadn't necessarily healed. I was able to tell the story, but I hadn't healed just yet. So it was therapeutic and it was very helpful.
Wow, when you talked about numbness and healing, can you, like, elaborate more on that? Because I think that is very powerful, because I think I can imagine, right, somebody going through, you know, what I recognize is that relationships are important to God. Like, even when you think about Adam or whatever, he's in a garden, and the word says that it wasn't good for man to be alone, you know, something like that. But in my mind, Adam was never alone because he had God, right? But that it was something important about when he created the woman for the man. It was something important about relationships, because God can use people. He can use relationships. He can use anything. He can use a donkey. So when you talked about, I could just imagine so many people who go from relationship to relationship, or people who have childhood trauma, you know, problems with their father, mother, just whatever. And they felt like, because I overcame it, and it goes back to what I was saying about this man who decided that, okay, I won't necessarily, you know, maybe be a drug dealer, or I might not necessarily be unproductive with my trauma. I'm going to use my trauma and help other people, you know, but at the end of the day, he was still broken. He was still numb.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? He wasn't fully making the steps to healing. But he was helping heal other people. You get what I mean? So imagine, like, we do all that is work, and we're doing these radio shows, and we're doing all these other things, and we're helping millions of people, helping thousands of people, helping all the people around us. But in the end, we're still numb, and we aren't participating in our own process of healing. So I thought that was so beautiful and interesting to know how you could be doing all of these great things in the community and telling people to forget and telling people they can be free and telling people, you know, about this God and how amazing he is and what he can do for you, but not truly experience God for yourself. And that's why I always say, and this lady and this girl from Philly blessed me. Her name was Khadija. She was on my show like 2 years ago, and we did a play together in 2019. And she was telling me, she was like, Rich, there's a lot of people out here having religious experiences with God, but not having a relationship with God. So I can, and not saying that was his experience, but I could imagine just feeling so good and feeling so great that I didn't allow whatever it is that was meant to destroy me to destroy me, but I'm out here being productive. But in the end, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. In the end, I don't have any forgiveness in my heart. You know, I'm looking the part. I'm saying all the right things. But in the end, I really have the heart of Pharaoh. You know, my heart is hardened. So when you talk about numbness and healing, I mean, numbness and healing, yes, I wanted you, like, to elaborate a little bit more on that because it's given me a different perspective. Because a lot of people feel like if they move past it, if I was successful, if I did all the things that I needed to do. And let me just say this. A lot of people, right, become successful, and it's fueled by that trauma. So they feel like, okay, this person did this to me. My daddy wasn't there, or my mom this and that, and this person said I wasn't going to be nothing. And they allow that trauma to fuel their success. But it's always like it's never enough. It's always like I'm on go time. I'm always – you get what I mean? And I had to look at also myself sometimes, like, you know, one of the reasons why I go hard, you know, I was asking myself, like, what is this? You get what I mean? Why can't you acknowledge, like, what God is doing in your life? Or why can't you see yourself for who you are? You know, so I'm still, God is still doing the work in and through me. But I definitely wanted you to elaborate on being numb and knowing where you're healing, because some people feel like they already healed because they move past it and they're successful, but deep down inside, if they were to be triggered in a way, or they were able to meet that person that hurt them or broken them, and then now all of these feelings, now they feel enraged, now they're angry, now they're ready to kill somebody. So help me and help the audience know, like, the difference between being numb and moving forward and working towards that healing, or can we be healed completely?
Yeah, I definitely believe, I definitely believe in complete healing and complete wholeness. And by way of the wonderful working of our Father, by way of his Spirit, and through the redemptive power of his Son, Jesus Christ, there is indeed a difference between healing and numbness. Because healing, so first of all, even when it comes to numbness can actually, when we look at our own bodies, numbness can actually be caused by inflammation. It can be caused because a limb has been cut off. It can be caused because of infection. And the interesting thing is that numbness can be a sign of sickness, but pain can be a sign of healing. So when you think about how when a doctor, my grandmother, I spoke to my grandmother today, and I said, how did your doctor, she went to the doctor, I said, how was your, and she said, it went well, and I said, did they cause you any pain? And the reason why I asked her that is because sometimes in the healing journey, you may have to bend in a certain way that may cause pain. Like if your arm has been broken or if there's something that's being reset, you can't get locked in that particular stance or that particular form, and you have to move it. And sometimes that motion, sometimes motion is painful, but that motion is a part of healing. So when we're looking at numbness, numbness doesn't necessarily mean that I've healed from it. It doesn't mean that I've grown from it. It doesn't mean that I've actually changed or that I've even matured from it. It just means that it means either I have either I've buried it so I don't see it, or I found something to help me cope. And usually what winds up happening, well, that means it could be sex, it could be drugs. Those things are void fillers that help create numbness. And we usually, you spoke about the woman who had the multiple husbands. And when we look at the Bible, we don't, like you said before, we don't know her backstory. Perhaps those five men were helping her to be numb. What pain was she going through to cause her to need to be with five to six or however many different men? So we don't always know the story, but sometimes what happens in our lives is things happen and we try to find ways to cope and we try to find ways to wrap our minds around it. And we sometimes, especially depending on the households that we've grown up in, we're not always taught the best way to handle it. Sometimes we smoke because we saw mama smoke. Sometimes we cuss people out and go off because we saw daddy do the same thing. And that was his way of coping, and that was his way of numbing his own pain. But just because something is numb does not mean that it's not infected. Just because something is numb does not mean that it's in a good place. Just because something is numb does not mean that it's healed.
Wow. I got to marinate on that. Wow, that is powerful. Wow. All right, track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
you lift your hands in the midst of your trouble, when you praise, can you praise and say, bless the Lord, say, when you praise, when they praise, when the body of Christ gets together and lifts up their voice of what a God, when we praise. Your trials and say, yeah, yeah, when you pray and you say, God is an awesome God, is an awesome God, yeah, when you pray, when we pray, when we pray, when you pray, and say, bless
All right, you guys, welcome back. We have a caller in queue. So caller one, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Jerry Petito.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how are you? Hey, baby, how you doing?
Good. It's good to hear you, my friend.
So I'm loving what you both are saying. You know, I mean, Ricardo, I loved every single thing you said and the question that you asked, Tommy, because everyone goes through stuff, right? We all go through stuff. But sometimes we don't see it the way maybe God wants us to see it. And you, the way you asked that question and the stuff that you said first to him, Ricardo, was amazing tonight. And I got to say, I mean, this is between me and God, but I don't even know if I could have forgiven my father if he killed my mother.
Mm.
You know, that's a tough one. You know, that's a tough one.
Mm.
But, I mean, you almost made me cry with that story.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, I'm serious. I was, forget it. So, I'm glad he was able to forgive his father because, of course, that's what God wants, right?
Yes.
So you two together are amazing. And I stole him from you. I'm going to be interviewing him in July.
Yes. Come on, God.
Yes,
amazing. Thank you, Jerry. And I wanted to say thank you, you know, for all you do. You know, the other day when you tagged me in a video, me and Frederica was watching it on our way after work, and I was like, wow, you know. I was just watching it, and I was just grateful, you know, always grateful for you, what you've been in my life. And I've always told people, you know, that, you know, listen to the show, even when I first started, you know, like you, I would say, really know me. Like, you know, when I was like, you know, still partying, when I was still, you know, doing all kind of stuff, you know, when I was still in my sin, you know, so people, you know, now listening to the show, they're seeing a more refined me, they're seeing who I truly am, but you see me when I was in the valley, like, you see me when I was at my worst, when I'm calling you, and you know, the frantic state of mind, and I'm like, all this stuff is happening, like, you know, so it's like, you know me, and it's like, you love me all the way through it, so I just want to say thank you.
Oh, forget it. I loved you from the moment you called me. From the moment you called me.
Right.
But thank you for tonight, guys, seriously, because not only did I have to hear what you have to say, so does so many people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I love you both. Yeah. God bless you.
I love you, Jerry. So Tommy, before I say something, because of what she said, I've been really on this forgiveness thing. Let me say this, and a lot of people don't know, and I say this because I want people to forgive and I want people to heal, and I believe that in order for us, God won't forgive us if we don't forgive. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not allowing nobody to stop me from entering into you know, the heavens. I'm not allowing nobody to stop me from getting my mansion that's better than any Beverly Hills mansion. You know, I'm not going to allow anybody to stop me from having access to this amazing God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So my mother, I mean, my stepmother, I mean, all my listeners know that my stepmother died last August. It's almost going to be a year, August 29th. She passed away from cancer. She was also in the movie Hurt People, Bitter and Broken that's dropping July 10th, you guys. I just wanted to, you know, put a little plug in there. My movie drops July 10th on YouTube. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the movie. It's a three-part movie. I'm excited. And my stepmother, she's going to be making her final debut in this movie. So this movie means a lot to me. I was going to say everything. Nothing means everything to me but God. But it means a lot to me. When my stepmother was on life support, and, you know, it was a time where it was looking really crazy, and, you know, it was a lot of people in that ear, pull the plug, and it was just really crazy to see how families are turning against each other, and it was just a lot, like, it was a lot. And I remember for, like, 3 weeks going to the hospital, her being unconscious, her being in a coma, and I was just thinking to myself, it was crazy because the day before she went into the hospital, I was like, she went to the hospital that Saturday. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go up there tomorrow. And then when I woke up the next day, she was in a coma. So I want to let anybody know, like, go spend time with the people you love. You get what I mean? Like, spend time. Like, don't think. I had my cousin who is also in the movie. His based on his wife did Saturday. And we was just at a celebration of life event for my cousin who had passed away as well. And, you know, RIP to her, you know, it was an OD, you know. And it just, when I tell you, bro, and I'm probably standing all over the place, when I tell you my heart was just grieved because I could see families, people turning against each other. Like, I'm outside, people ready to start fighting, people hurting. All I can see is the hurt. You know, and it hurt me to know that this young, beautiful girl now is gone, you know, and people don't understand, you know, addictions is just to show up, you know, like there's deep-rooted issues there. You get what I mean? And the enemy, you know, he wants to seep us, I don't know, the word is not coming to me, but basically he wants to devour us. And so prayers, you know, I tell my cousin who, you know, who they found, you know, his wife dead this weekend. So spend time with your loved ones. So for 3 weeks, my stepmother was in a coma, didn't know she was going to come out. And I remember that my brother decided that they was going to put a trach, you know, in her throat for her to breathe. So the machine was breathing for her. And she actually woke up out of the coma. I remember going home and then they call and saying that she, you know, she woke up, she wanted to go to hospice. I said, well, if she go to hospice, then that means they're going to have to take off the breathing tube, which meaning, you know, she's going to perish. So when my brothers got up there, they asking her, she's alert. She can't talk because she got the trach. And she's like, they like, do you want us to take you off the breathing machine? She's shaking her head, no. Even though the people say she wanted to go to hospice. And that's why you got to advocate for your, you know, your family. So anyway, I decided to go up there. And I looked at her and I said to her, oh, God, I'm getting emotional right now. I said to her, and the thing about it is, like, when I share these moments and these deep things, it's not for me to talk about my business, but it's about because God really wants us to be free, and God really wants us to forgive. And a lot of times we're holding people hostage for what they did to us when he wants us to be free. He wants us to forgive them. And I stood there and I looked at my stepmom and I'm like, what are we going to do without you? Tears rolling down my eye. I'm like, what are we going to do without you? What are we going to do? And I looked at her and I just started crying, you know. And I just looked at her and I said, listen, I want you to forgive my father, you know, because her and my father was together over 20-something years and my dad had remarried. And I know that broke her. It broke her spirit. And I said, I need you to forgive my father for what he did, you know. I said, I need you to forgive your father because her father had murdered her mother. And I said, I need you to forgive your father for murdering your mother. And I said, I need you to forgive me, you know, because I was her stepson. So, you know, I'm probably sure I didn't took her through the ringer too, you know. So I said, I need you to forgive me for anything that I ever done. And I need you to ask God to forgive you because – And all I remember was she looked at me, she turned her head, and she closed her eyes. And I remember feeling like this was the opportunity where I believe God, it was just grace, because even though she couldn't talk, I felt like she was forgiven. She was forgiving my father. She was forgiving her father. She was forgiving all the men that wronged her. She was forgiving me. She was asking God to forgive her because she knew she was about to transition. And I felt like, what if God didn't allow, like, what if we would have just pulled the plug? We would have never got that opportunity. I would have never got that opportunity to minister to her. I would have never had that opportunity to tell her how much she meant to me, how much that I loved her. And what if even in that moment her eternal address changed because she was able to forgive everybody that hurt her, and she was able to ask Jesus to forgive her and to come into her heart. So I believe in my heart that my stepmother is rejoicing. I believe she's in heaven. But I just want to just say that she was almost about to take unforgiveness into eternity with her. And like I said, the word tells us that, guess what? We ain't getting to heaven if we don't forgive. And I can't sugarcoat that. Like, it ain't going to happen. We have to forgive. So I just wanted to say that for anybody that's out there struggling with forgiveness, listen, it's a process, you know, for some people. And it's not an overnight thing. It's not just I forgive. It takes work. But please, please find it in your heart to forgive those that hurt you. Track next by international DJ legend, Brother O.
When it don't feel good, let me see ya. When it gets a little tight, let me see ya. Until it gets right, let me see ya.
Look at
All right, you guys, we are back. So, oh my goodness, wow, forgiveness, amazing. All right, so Tommy, we talked about numbness and healing and all of those great things. I feel like that deserves like a whole, that could be like a whole conference, like the difference between numbing and healing and all these amazing things. Like for real, this is amazing. Because people out here really hurt, like I was saying, about, you know, about addiction, you know. People don't realize, you know, whatever their addiction may be, because I believe that you can even be addicted to the wrong people. You can be addicted, you know, to what people perceive as love, you know. And those addictions, you know, can leave us down a rabbit hole. It can leave us feeling like we're in a maze. You know what I mean? So it's just, my heart goes out to anybody out there just battling addiction, any type of addiction, because God, he can free us. You know, the enemy is, oh, he's a liar. You know, he is a liar. And, you know, when I look around and I just see the devastation on the in earth, like I see the wildfires, I just see, you know, there's so many killings in the city where I'm from. It's just so much going on in the world. And I would just say, before we get into life carriers, anybody out there, please, 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 there is really a God that is really in love with you. And sometimes because of our life circumstances and the things that we go through, we don't always believe that. We don't always believe that God really loves us. We don't believe that Jesus really died for us and he can be who he says he is. I was one of those people when I was in the valley at a low point. I ran away from God. I believed the lies. I believed other people's voices, my own voice over God's voice. And I was so broken and shattered. And, oh, my goodness. I was stuck. And I just walked away from God. And there were so many times, y'all, I remember being in a club drunk. And I sobered up, and I remember just, like, leaving the club, and I just remember, I feel like that was a God moment. I would have these God moments when I was out in the world drinking, turning up, and just doing all kind of worldly stuff, and God would just, he would just show up, you know, but I was just running. I was so hurt, and I was just, like, I was just so hurt, you know, hurt that my best friend was dead. I was so hurt that I was confused about a lot of things that I couldn't understand, and I allowed life to life, and I didn't go to God, and I would still go to church on Sunday most of the time, but I wasn't fully submitted, so I would pray, I would go to church sometimes, but I would still drink, I would still do all kind of things, and because I wasn't fully submitted. And I just want to let you know, anybody out there, the reason why I do this is because it's not about me. It's about God. And whenever I get an opportunity to talk about God, I have to tell people about Jesus, because like the Samaritan woman, she went and told the people like about God. She didn't feel judged. And how beautiful would it be when people who are broken, when they encounter Jesus, when they encounter Christ-like followers today, that, yeah, people would tell you, listen, the way that you're living isn't according to the standard, but they would feel the love of God. You know, they wouldn't feel like, oh, you think you better, oh, you're trying to judge me. No, that they would feel love. But the fact that Jesus told her, like, listen, what you're doing ain't right, but she received it in a loving way, because he didn't say it like that. He loved her. You get what I mean? He cared about her. And I really want that to be there, because it grieves my spirit every time I look out and I see people getting killed, innocent people. It was a drive-by a couple of days ago, you know, in my neighborhood that I live in or used to live in Trenton. Innocent, good people, decent people who weren't in the streets but just walking up on the block, you know, just saying what's up to people that they grew up, and were murdered. And I just think to myself, like, did these people know Jesus? So if you're listening, I want to just extend, you know, salvation to anybody out there. You don't have to have it all together. I don't have it all together. I'll never have it all together. But I know somebody that does have it all together, and it's Jesus. And before I take my last breath, I just got to tell people that he will be there for you. And no, you don't change overnight. And no, everything doesn't change. And yes, there's still going to be hard times, but I would rather be in God. I would rather be in the arms of Jesus all day than anything else. Can we talk about life carriers? Like, why was that important to write that chapter? What were you going through? What is it that you're trying to convey in that chapter?
Sure. So life carriers actually is fits in the category of my book as a kind reminder. And it's one or two sentences that says we all have the ability to carry life, to carry a birth life. And it ends with saying, yes, men have wombs too. And essentially, that was actually going to be its own chapter, or it's like a couple pages, but I summed it up into those two lines. And what I was trying to get at there was that we all have the ability to carry life, whether that life is, whether we're calling that life joy, whether it's peace, whether it's contentment. In many cases, and the other reason why this came through, or I wrote this, is because in many cases, what happens is we look for surrogates. And a surrogate is somebody who carries life on behalf of somebody else who may not be able to have the ability to carry life on their own. And in many instances, what happens is because we sometimes may not feel like going through the difficulty or the inconvenience of carrying and birthing life, we find somebody else to birth peace for us. We find somebody else to carry and birth joy for us. We find somebody else to carry and birth happiness for us. So thereby, we're leaning heavily, we're using other people as crutches to birth things for us that we should be birthing ourselves. Now, in many cases, you know, because of trauma, because of hardship, because of things that we've gone through, and just like in natural life, you know, there may be different things that may happen within a woman's anatomy that could prevent her from carrying life. And the same thing happens for us on the spiritual level, that there are many things that can happen to us in our lives that can prevent us from being able to carry life to full term. But the good thing is that we have a physician, that we have a doctor that we can go to, who is Jesus, who can straighten out everything that's going on within us so that we can carry. The other thing is that to also own the fact, the other reason why I wrote this chapter is for us to also own the fact that birthing peace, birthing happiness, birthing joy and contentment is my responsibility. I can't put that on anybody else. After a certain time, I can't complain and say, well, mama didn't, daddy didn't, sister didn't. After a certain time and after a certain point, you have to take responsibility on your own and birth what you want to see happen in your life.
Wow, amazing. It is our responsibility, absolutely. Caller 2, who are you and where are you calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Bulls Brothers. Represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia. Where Shorty got on the train with an army full of kids, you know what I'm saying? It was about 6 of them, but they all was under the age of 5. What's good?
How you doing?
What's up, Philly?
Yo, everything is gracious out here, you know what I mean? Yo, and shout out to your guest tonight, you know what I'm saying? Wonderful elaboration on some of the things that we've been talking about as far as you know, the Samaritan woman and Jesus, Isa, alayhi salam, may peace be upon him, the son of Mary. Now, what I wanted to do is, if I could, I wanted to elaborate on that, if I could, you know what I'm saying? May I?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll be brief, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, of course, as your guest said, Tommy, right? You know, he was saying that, you know, we do not know if there is no specific description on this woman and why she went through these things. You know what I mean? However, these things in which we read in the Suhoof And especially when it comes to the Injil of Isa, alayhi salam, the God, aka the Gospel. You know what I'm saying? When verily, whether he loved you or not, whatever he spoke things, they were to guide you. They were to reinforce what the instructions were upon the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham, the chosen people. These are the descriptions of them. You know what I'm saying? But all throughout the biblicals and the prophets and all that type of stuff, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is this is a sign to the women where this woman, she had these husbands, whether they were killed in battle, whatever that happened to them, you know what I mean? She was going running through them, you know what I mean? And she didn't have one at that particular moment. And therefore, there was traces of evidence in which this woman could possibly have been unfertile, where she couldn't have children or something to the likes. However, this is a note to the women, where you shouldn't be trying to collect the husbands, because and the wisdom behind you having more than one man or more than one husband, Missy Pooh, whoever you are, you know what I'm saying, with your hot self. You heard me. I said hot self. Whoever that is. The thing is you can't be pregnant by all these different men. You won't know who your damn baby father is. So the parable in that and the wisdom behind that is that you're a woman with all these damn husbands. You can't have all of them at the same time. Because guess what? You're not going to know who your baby father is or who your son is. Your son might have light-skinned lips and dark-skinned eyebrows, whatever that means. You understand what I'm saying to you. But evil war, this is not something that's possible, you know what I'm saying, for a woman to share, the nut fat from several different men. However, again, she would not know this would call discord between the men, of course, and someone is going to die, get killed in this situation where they won't be turning the cheek in that situation. You hear me? That's the first thing, real quick. You know what I mean? So women, you know, take heed to these messages. You know what I mean? When Jesus walks up on the Samaritan women and he told them, listen, tell all your squad, don't be doing what y'all doing no more. It's cool to do it like this, because when you do it like this, you know who your baby father is. And when you know who your baby father is, you're more than likely you could become more equally yoked this way, women of Samaria. You know what I'm saying? He was trying to put them on. So and then secondly, I just wanted real quick about the numbness and healing. You know what I'm saying? Verily, there is a thin line between numbing, becoming numb from a situation, and healing from a situation. And part of the healing, the main ingredient of healing is to know what's decreed for you. These things are written out for you in your lifespan. And verily know this as well. God knows best. And if you a person who places your trust with God, knowing that he knows best, whatever that befalls you that wasn't meant for you to miss, know that he knew best in that. I'm Clever One, one half in the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where Mom Duke slid up on Pop Dukes while he was on his break, hollering at the side chicks when he was at work. Check your satellites.
All right. So, wow, that was a real interesting outlook. So we talked about life carriers. I wanted to know about the debt collectors. Can you tell me what were you thinking when you wrote that part?
Yeah. Debt collectors actually touches on a conversation that you were just having in terms of forgiveness. And that is that too is a very short part in the book that says, "Hi, my name is Tommy. The information that you shared during this call will not be used at this time. I forgive you." And what usually happens for us is that when an offense has been created, when there's been a wrong, if we don't address that, if we don't heal from it, what it usually does, it usually sits. And when it sits, it's almost like it's it almost becomes like bad debt. You know, there's a charge, there's an offense, and that charge, it sits there, and it accumulates interest. So when we talk about accumulating interest, when we're hurt, when we're wrong, when we're offended, if we haven't forgiven and we haven't let that thing go, what tends to happen is the interest that is added to that offense is bitterness. The interest that's added to that offense is anger. It's malice. It could be envy. It could be hatred. So now you're not only having to deal with the original offense or the original debt, you have all this accrued interest that you now have to deal with. So it's best for us to cancel the debt. And like what you said, Ricardo, it's not something that can happen overnight, but it's something that has to happen through a process of honesty and transparency. And when I say honesty and transparency, it's one of those things where you have to be honest with God and say, God, this hurt. This really hurt. It hurt that this person wasn't there. It hurt that this happened over here. It hurt that I'm hurt that I didn't see you move the way I thought you should have moved. And allowing God to unravel that, allowing God to help you navigate that process, and allowing God to help you heal from that pain that's right there. But that's what Debt Collectors is about. It's when we don't cancel the debt, we're looking to collect on it. We're looking for somebody to satisfy and satiate that debt that has been collected, even to the point where when we're debt collectors, I used to work as a debt collector. And what happens is if I can't reach you, I'm calling your mom. If I can't reach your mom, I'm calling your cousin because we have your number, right? We have your number. So that's the same thing that happens with debt. That's the same thing what happens with emotional debt. If I can't take it out on you, I'm going to take it out on my husband. I'm going to take it out on my wife. I'm going to take it out on my children. And so a lot of the things that we're seeing with dysfunctional families and a lot of things that we're seeing going on in our lives and messed up relationships is the fact that you may be charging somebody for a debt that they never created. That may have nothing to do with them, even if that person is dead. And that even if that person never even asked to be forgiven, that is the power and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that even if you never said, I'm wrong, even if you never admitted, and we both know that you did it, the ability to say, hey, I forgive you, that's when we become like Christ, when he says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. Even while he was dying, he interceded. While he was on a cross, he interceded and said, Father, forgive them. And we have to take up that same cross, even though it may feel unfair. But I want to say this too, that you've been graced for it. You've been graced to be able to forgive.
Amen. And I wanted to say this too before we get to the track by International Brother O. Two things, but I'm going to say the other thing when we come back. One of the things that the guy was saying at the men's group is how a lot of people say that God won't put more on you than you could bear. He said that wasn't actually, like, scriptural. It is a scripture in that's kind of similar, but that's not the exact scripture. He said the thing about life is when we say these things like, oh, you know, God won't put more on you could bear, he said the thing about it is you was never meant to bear it. God was. So it's just like at the end of the day when life just seems like it's life and it's overbearing, just give it over to God and allow God to be God. Track next by International DJ, legend, Brother O.
of mine. Believe you when you tell me everything will be just fine. Just lay your hands on me, Lord, and I will be brand new.
You and I am calling
All right, you guys. So before I go to the caller, I just wanted to let everybody out there know this song, it really hits different because it was actually in the song that I was in the play that I did called Marriage Single and everything in between. So shout out to the whole cast. But this song also derived from the scripture, Psalms 51, 10 and 12. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Caller number 3, who are you and where are you calling from?
Caller, you there? All right, we keep on moving. Got 5 seconds. All right. Final thoughts, Ricardo.
All right. So, Tommy, do you want them to, like, do you want to tell them, like, your social media and where they can get the book and everything like that?
Sure. So, again, my name is Tommy Suggs, also known as TW Suggs. I am on Instagram and on Facebook, both. You can use the same handle, TW Suggs. That last name is spelled S-U-G-G-S. My website is www.twsuggs.com, which is in the process of being updated. We're giving it a facelift. The book is called Running Through the Rain, My Stories, Reflections, and Kind Reminders, and it's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart.com, et cetera. If you type it in, you'll find it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Like, I was just, you know, texting you while we was doing the show and just telling you, you know, this is better than gold. You get what I mean? Like,
wow.
This is just amazing. And, oh, man, there's so many people out there that has a purpose and a calling on their lives. Don't allow pain or don't allow who you used to be. Don't even allow those voices inside of your head now stop you from being who God called you to be. It's a Goldie time, everyone. Here's your mother and father's favorite producer.
Come on now, you know I got to keep coaching. Yeah.
Come on. Should I go left or should I go right? Should
You know what's amazing? That album came out 23 years ago, and, you know, it still sounds just as good today than it's ever had. The great Fred Hammond and Radicals for Christ. The name of the album was Purpose by Design, and, you know, great inspirational music. Shout out to my father and my mom, you know, many different times going out to dinner, you know what I mean, and just, you know, sitting back, and Daddy would drive, and, you know, we would go from here and there to and fro. And, you know, say, hey, boy, I like that. Boy, I like that Fred Hammond. And I said, okay, Dad, okay, okay. You know what I mean? You know, got caught up in contemporary gospel, and I love that. And those things I share with you guys because, you know, last night was a Battle Network Stars, and it was Father's Day, and I get a chance to share a little bit about my dad, and I miss him very much. On July 9th will be the 13th anniversary of his passing. It's amazing how time has flown. Because it's just, we have great parents, and I did, you know, and I was a rascal, you know, out there in California. I just did what I wanted to do. And, you know, it was my dad that brought me back with sensibility, having a strong father. Without my dad, you know, my mom was there. She was a nurturer. Okay. And, you know, I love my mom, but it was my dad that brought me back to sensibility. You want to live or do you want to die? Simple and plain. And, you know, out there in the gang culture and all that. And my dad said, we want to move to Philadelphia. So how about this? Don't bring any of their clothes. You know, just meet me at LAX and we're going to fly. And I made the right decision. If I didn't make that decision, I would be dead or in life in prison. So that's the type of things I was into. You know, don't let the master's degree fool you. I was into a lot of dirty stuff. And it was God that changed my life and my perspective. And like Terrence always said, you know, spirituality and a new perspective, I'm still living that new perspective every day. You know why? Because I have some great hosts on this network that allow me to live through them. And I'm glad that I'm able to be a house DJ to all of you guys, man. It's a pleasure and a privilege. But it was Mom that said, you'll be a broadcaster. It was my dad that said, you have a knowledge of music, grow it, and be continuous in life. And it's amazing, and I'm so proud of myself. Yes, I'm proud of myself. I've done some yeoman's work. You're darn right I'm proud of myself. Why wouldn't I be? I'm proud of the people that I've touched, the people that started radio shows. You know, I'm going to talk about it right now. I'm going to give a testimony. That's my network. I'm going to give a testimony. So, all, you know, two people that are, you know, strong in their CEO work. The first person I have to definitely give honor to is the Reverend Tori Daly, who started here with her show Purpose Spirit and ended up making that Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'm proud of her and, you know, what she does. And then, of course, you know, our living legend right here on our network, the Honorable Angela Thomas Smith, you know, doing what she does, you know, with the Crew Podcast. Two people that have grown from the tree of WBNN, and it's fantastic to see people grow and start their own businesses from, I'm talking about radio networks, from the one and only Beverly Nation. I'm so proud of the eight people that garnered, you know, stature last night in the Battle Network Stars. And again, thank you to Nicole Williams, Danielle Cheney, and of course, we always call Chief Justice Sylvia L. Blaylock. We're spending their time for us to have a little bit of fun last night. And I'm really proud of Ricardo Richard. I've seen this man grow since 2021. You know, he's class of 2021. And to see him grow and do what he's doing, you know, continuously through our network, you know, being a person standing on his convictions and not being swayed, you know, and so proud of Tommy Suggs and his, you know, growth through life and being able to give an outstanding dissertation of what's near and dear to his heart. And just proud of this network because we're a network. We're a motley crew, you know what I mean, of people. You know, I'm so proud of, you know, our growth, you know, in the tens of millions, to be in the land of Misfit Toys. Each one of the hosts, you know, wouldn't be on other networks, you know, because they're not able to grow. They'll be censored. You can't say this, you can't say that. And so I'm proud of all the work that we do on a constant basis here at WBNN, the one and only Beverly Nation. Tomorrow night, our wonderful anchor, who gave us a spot last night, and we appreciate her, and she will be on tomorrow, okay, special Tuesday show, News Forum with the 2022 Anna Waddell Award recipient, WBNN Host of the Year, Dr. Chinchilla J tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Daylight on the one and only Beverly Nation. And, of course, WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and Twitter. And then Ngozi underscore time. Ola Dele Malay, we go to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight? Ole de lay, dying goes with my and gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer. Ola Dele Malay, we go to saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there. And I mean this tonight. And Armed Forces Radio since 2014 that has continuously supported us on a constant basis. You know, all of our servicemen and sailors, thank you. You know, around the world, you know, listen to us, you know, in different shows, different capacities. Shout out to Larry Shepard, who helped me, tremendously to grow my business. You know, you got to give flowers what flowers are due, because it is what it is. You're not an island. You did not do this by yourself. The accumulation of wealth and intellect and knowledge, you didn't do that by yourself. Someone, you know, was a catalyst to help you. And we're here to help people and change people. I said what I said. And now to the class of 2021, Ricardo Richard.
All right, you guys, again, I am so grateful, so honored, so humble, so thankful to God. And I also want to thank Brother O for this opportunity always, and thank Tommy for coming on. Also want to let you guys know, July the 10th, my movie comes out, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the movie, the final series. I'm so excited. You guys, my billboard comes out next Monday, June 26th. So if y'all see me on Facebook acting a fool, just know I'm doing it all to the glory of God, and I'm excited about what God is doing, and I'm just hoping that, again, that, you know, I can help contribute to saving some souls and helping some folks heal as I am still continuing to heal. I love you guys, and remember, I'm just a boy from East Trenton, just want to be used by God. You guys, have a blessed night.